God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he's made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they're as asleep. In the morning they're like the grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. All our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, when he had by himself purged our sins, amen, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, yes, being made so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance hath obtained a more excellent name than they. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Amen. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Amen. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Say praise to him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, he is Lord of all. Amen. Lord of lords and King of kings. By the way, is he your Lord? Well, the engine's all warmed up. Let's get airborne. What do you say? Open, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about tonight. In the book of Jeremiah, in chapter number 28, as you're finding your place in Jeremiah, the 28th chapter, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day, and day follows night, God still lives. Amen. And the Bible is right. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I'm glad it's settled right here on earth, in this wonderful, precious book that we call the Bible. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful, and precious, and perfect, and pure, and pontifical, and preserved for us in our own language, in the King James Version. I read for you Jeremiah chapter 28, beginning at verse number 1. And I read after we pray together. Would you pray? Our Father, we are grateful for this hour. We're grateful for thy precious word. We're grateful for thy wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus, our Savior, the one who died to save us from our sins, who shed his blood at Calvary's cross and paid our sin debt, and set us free forever. Should there be those here in this hour, or those listening by the live streaming that have never trusted Christ, may they come to know him. Help us all to realize we are writing a story. May we write it correctly for the honor and glory of Christ, in whose name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Jeremiah, the prophet, chapter number 28, and verse number 1. And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, and in the fifth month, mark that year in that month, that Hananiah, the son of Azar, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priest and of all the people, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priest and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord. Even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen, so be it. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, mark that word, nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. the prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of, mark this, 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I have given him the beast of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year shalt thou die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. Just 2 years after he lied, he died. Be careful how you lie. He died. God wiped him off the face of the earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in my text we have the story of two men who called themselves prophets. A prophet, by the way, is one who speaks for God. The first one is Jeremiah that we'll look at, a true prophet of God. He was God's man with God's message for God's people in God's time. The other prophet was Hananiah, a self-appointed false prophet with a lying message designed to deceive God's people. Now note, they both preached from the same pulpit to the same people. They both had a story to tell. Let's listen to Jeremiah's story. And here's what he said. This is his story. The people of Judah, the southern kingdom that had been taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, would be held in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. That was based on what God said, recorded in Jeremiah 29 in verse 10. By the way, when God speaks, everybody listens. Listen to what God said. Jeremiah 29:10. Well, thus saith the Lord, that after, watch this number now, 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. See where God keeps his word, promises made, promises kept. Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14 reads, not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake. All, watch it now, all are come to pass, and not one thing hath failed. Now, every mature Christian in this audience can testify to the fact that every promise that God made in his word for you and your home and your family and your business and the church and the pastor and the people and the nation has come to pass. Not one thing, ladies and gentlemen, not one thing of all the good things that God has spoken hath failed. God is still on his throne. He will take care of his own. His promises are true. He will see you right through, for God is still on his throne. That's Jeremiah's story, 70 years of captivity. Now let's look at Hananiah's story, the false prophet. He said that the captivity would end in 2 full years. Look at verse 11. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he had no divine authority for saying that. His prophecy was based on a lie. Look at verse 15. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, "Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie." Jeremiah, the true prophet, told the truth. Hananiah, the false prophet, told a lie. Well, what is the end result? Which one of these men was right? Jeremiah's story proved to be true. The dates, according to history, secular and sacred, of the Babylonian captivity of Judah were 606 to 536 B.C. Do the math. Now, I don't know much about math. The only course I ever failed in all of my years of schooling, grammar school, high school, college, seminary, and all the rest, the only course I ever failed was math. But I know enough about math to know that from 606 to 536 is 70 years. And that's what Jeremiah, that was his story. He said, my story is they'll remain there 70 years because that's what God said. After 70 years, I will visit you and bring you back to this land where you belong. By the way, I told you in verses 16 and 17, that the false prophet died within 2 months. Some of you don't have long to live. If you've been lying to God, look out. God kills liars. God has a great deal to say, and I don't have time to read it, but I'll give you the reference. Jeremiah 23, verses 25 through 32, God speaks harshly against false prophets. Read it when you get home. Now, that's my introduction. I'm ready to start preaching. By the way, I'll tell you when I'm ready to stop. I've entitled this message, "This is My Story." You saw it on the screen there a while ago, didn't you? This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long and in the night season as well. You can talk to God at night. He doesn't turn off his receiving set at 6 o'clock in the evening. It's open all night long. You may need him more in the night than you do in the day. Talk to him. He's there. This is my story. And I can tell you to begin with, my story is not the figment of the imagination of a fanatical, fundamental Baptist preacher. I've had no visions. I've had no dreams. No enchantments, no out-of-the-body experiences, no extra-biblical revelations. By the way, I am a Baptist. Not a half a Baptist, not a Baptist and a half, but a Baptist. Fundamental Baptist, independent Baptist. And I'm not ashamed of it. I was born into it. I was reared into it. I'm still in it. I will die in it. My story is based completely, entirely, and unapologetically upon the Word of God. To be specific, my story is based on the charge that Paul gave to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, But after their own lust will they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth and be turned unto fables. But watch there in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I was charged more than 70 years ago, and my preaching battery is still fully charged. Hadn't gone down any. It's fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just push my button, and I'm ready to go. I declare unto you in the first place, my story is that the Bible is addressed to people of all ages and the people in today's world. The Bible, listen, the Bible is not just another fanciful book filled with colorful stories about strange people who lived long ago in a strange land. No, 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 no. The Bible is about you and me. It's about our life. It's about our death. It's about our destiny. Now, there are some things we need to fully understand about the Bible. I'm going to list five very quickly. Number one, the Bible is inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. None of this Dalmatian theory of inspiration. You know, a spot here and a spot there. Who can tell which spots? All Scripture. Is given by inspiration of God. Secondly, the Bible is indestructible. Let me quote Jesus. You don't mind already, do you? John 10:35, Jesus said the Scripture cannot be broken. Number three, the Bible is impeccable. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 12 at verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Wow. The Bible, number four, is powerful. You've already heard it one time tonight. You can hear it again, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Number five, the Bible is eternal. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The Bible stands like a rock undaunted amid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with a truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it and prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I'll plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible means what it has always meant to people in every generation, all the way from Adam to you and me. It's as old as time and new as tomorrow. Could I tell you, it's already ahead of Monday morning headlines. Read the book. The commandments, the statutes, the principles, the doctrines, the instructions, the admonitions, the warnings in this book apply to you and me in this modern, sophisticated age in which we live. It is an age of scientific achievement. It's an age of advanced technology. It's an age of interplanetary space travel. But let me tell you, none of these affect the accuracy, the authenticity, or the historicity of the Word of God. None. God has not changed His mind. Would you believe His Word on it? I'll give you His Word on it. Malachi 3:6, God said, I am the Lord, I change not. God has not altered His Word. God speaks to us in a plain English, in our own language. God speaks with a tongue that never slips. He writes with a pen that never blots. He acts with a hand that never fails. I have a stern warning for every person in this room. Are you listening? Every person. It's written in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25. And this is what it says. Listen carefully. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, God is speaking to us from heaven in his word. It's a dangerous thing to spurn God's mercy or turn a deaf ear to God's message. Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now let's listen to God as he speaks. I would say to you, first of all, he speaks to the children. You know, the book is for the whole family. God speaks to the children, Ephesians 6:1. Children, are you listening, children? Obey your parents, not when you feel like you want to. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now watch it, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Children, obey your parents. God speaks to the youth. Young people, listen to me tonight. Put down your machines and look at the book. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, beginning at verse 9 through 12, verse 1. The wise man Solomon says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes, and know thou, for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from the heart and put away evil from the flesh. That's God speaking, folks. In verse 1 of chapter 12, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Listen, young people. The wise man Solomon is saying to you, keep God in your thoughts, in your deeds, in your acts, in your actions, in your reactions, in your behavior, in your dealings, in all areas of your life. If you keep God in your thoughts, you will escape the remorse and the regret of old age. Now let me speak very plainly. Young men, refrain from following the lustful longings of your flesh. And you young ladies, listen to me. Be ladylike. Stay your distance. And stay out of the back seat of the car. That's plain speaking. I kind of feel like we need some plain speaking, don't you? The Bible's plain. Let's go to the parents. God speaks to the parents too. Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, and bring them up in the nurture, that is the training, and admonition of the Lord. Parents, listen to me. Don't expect your children to come out smelling like roses if you're eating onions and garlic. God save us from parents who are angels in the street, saints in the church, and devils in the home. God speaks to husbands and wives. Ephesians chapter 5 at verse 22. Now I need to tell you, I didn't write this, ladies. And husbands, you listen too. God's got your number too and mine and all of us. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. Now, you husbands, listen. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Somebody said, well, we just have a perfect marriage. Quit lying. You don't have a perfect marriage. Well, my husband is just a model. Who wants a model? Most women want the real thing. I have an idea, men. Listen to me. If we loved our wives like Christ loved the church, they would be willing to be in submission and subjection to us. I'm convinced of that. Now, in the second place, I just have 33 of these. I'll sit back and relax. In the second place, my story is that the gospel is God's good news to a world of lost sinners. Did you know that God loves sinners? Jesus loves sinners. Jesus died for sinners. God forgives sinners. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul wrote, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, by which also you're saved. And here it is. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. What scriptures? Isaiah 53. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. What scripture? Psalm 16:10. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell or Hades, the place of the departed dead, neither wilt thou see my flesh to suffer corruption. Now, Peter picked up on that in his great sermon in Acts chapter 2. If you haven't read that lately, you ought to read it, the whole chapter. Here's what he said in verse 24 of chapter 2, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be holden thereby. Not possible. Death couldn't hold him. The grave could not hold him. Satan could not hold him. God raised him up on the third day because it was not possible for him to be in the grave longer than what God said. That's the gospel 101, folks. That's God's good news. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. By the way, the gospel is not so much a proposition to be believed as it is a person to be received. In John's first chapter, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, number three, in the third place, my story is that the right time to call on God is now. Did you know that God's time is always present? There's no past with God. There's no future with God. Everything happens with God as though it's right now, in the very present moment. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Bible says, come now. This is God speaking, really. Are you ready to listen to what God said? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Amen. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let's reason together. Can you imagine one of the Supreme Court justices or governor or a judge in Texas or in Tarrant County or Johnson County calling the most notorious criminal in the area and say to him, sit down, son, and let's have a little talk. We'll reason this thing out. No, no, no. He says, you're going to jail. But you know, God says, you're not going to jail. You know, you don't have to go to hell. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What a wonderful God. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. My story began with Jesus. My story continues with Jesus. My story will end with Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And by the way, I've been knowing him since I was 11 years old. When I heard an old-fashioned preacher preach an old-fashioned message from an old-fashioned book, I knelt at an old-fashioned altar and I received an old-fashioned case of religion. And folks, listen to me. That was 78 years ago, and I'm still saved tonight. I'm just as much saved as I ever was, or ever will be. I'm clinging to what Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I'm certainly not a Greek scholar, but I understand the Greek says never five times. Never, 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 never. He's a scholar. He's shaking his head. I said it right. Never, 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 never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I remember that night when I knelt at the altar. And I remember a few weeks later when my two older brothers and I, all three, got into the baptistry, were baptized by our preacher daddy. Both of those boys are in heaven now. And ladies and gentlemen, keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. That's my story. What's yours? Let's stand for our prayer. Everyone standing heads are bowed. The altar's open. You don't have to wait till we sing. If God's spoken to your heart, if there's something you need to talk to him about, why don't you just step out of your seat without any pressure? I'm not going to pressure you. I'm not going to beg you. I'm just going to say if God is speaking to your heart, if you feel the tugging of the Holy Spirit, if there's something that you would like to talk to God about around an altar prayer, I just invite you to come. It won't cost you anything. Nobody's going to question you. Nobody's going to get you to write down anything. We're not going to get you to say anything, make a speech. Just give God a chance. He knows what your story is. Maybe it needs to be strengthened a little bit. Your prayer life. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Your Bible study. Your witnessing. Your giving. Your sharing. Your going. I don't know. But whatever it is that God may be speaking to you about, we invite you to come. Father, we thank you for this hour. And we thank you for the story of Jeremiah. And we thank you for the story of thy precious word that's true. Fill our hearts and souls and minds with it tonight in Jesus' name.